Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Today is my super duper most special guest in the whole world. As you know, I'm always so thankful that people take the time to come and sit and talk with me. But this woman is so amazing, you guys. I'm probably going to cry half of this episode just because my love for her. This is Marlene. Hello, Marlene.
Hi.
You are the most amazing person. I know. I'm telling you, this is like, I've been waiting this whole time. Your schedule is so busy. You guys, she's like a doctor. And I'm going to say how we met, which is just, the story is very funny. And then I'm obviously going to let her talk. But I do a big buildup because she's so amazing. And she's going to, you know, profound things are going to come out of her mouth. But the buildup is pretty funny. She was the doctor, the woman of my life that delivered Charlotte, which is a very special person to be in your life for those 9 months. But also she was pregnant when she delivered Charlotte, and they're about 6 months difference, Darla and her. And that was Charlotte's first friend, and it's still Charlotte's best friend. And it is just so special, that aspect of it, which we will talk about. But how I met Marlene was I didn't realize that I was pregnant. I had been sick for a couple months, and everything was jacked. My whole body was just jacked. I had bronchitis. I had all this stuff. And it was like a Thursday or something. And I'm like, finally, after like just feeling weird, I looked up my symptoms and I'm like, I think I'm pregnant. Or maybe I'm pregnant. And I went to get a test at Target. I took the pregnancy test and I took three of them and they all came back. And it was, oh no, it was a Friday afternoon. And I was like, oh shit. So I called and I just started from the list of the West Hills women's group that was there. I just started at the top. I didn't know. I knew nothing. And I went down, and for some reason, Marlene had the soonest opening.
I was new in town.
No, but she had the soonest opening. Everyone was like, you know, a month out. And I'm like, I need to know. It was like that following, like, let's say the following week. And I was like, and the second she opened the door, the second, I was very nervous. I went by myself that day. And I remember just seeing her. And instantly I felt comfortable. And instantly I felt this connection with her. And I'm not saying that because she's sitting here. It was that amazing, and I just knew I was in the best hands because I was really nervous. Yes. And that is how I met Marlene. And did I think that we would still be as close as we are? I don't know that I thought that way. I just thought, I'm so lucky. And then the next visit, David came, and he's like, she's amazing. And it was just that connection, and obviously being such an important life-changing thing for us, like, you're the perfect person for people to just meet. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you have this calmness. I mean, I always told you were too nice sometimes because I would text her these most random questions, and like, she'd be like, you can text anytime. And I thought, what doctor says that? But every once in a while, I'd send a text and she's like, don't worry. If you're worried, we'll come in the office, you know, those things. But just her presence and just her ease of everything was just so special in a time where I think most first moms are nervous, even though you can be like, oh, I want 40 kids. But that first time you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to be pregnant. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all, amazing. So I just wanted to give you, I built you up, girl. I built you up because I'm going to let you take over the reins of your amazingness and just say, like, ask the question, did you always want to be a doctor?
Think so. I thought about being either a veterinarian or a doctor.
So
because my mom actually, growing up, you know, she always shared her medical background about all the hardships you went through, and so much of it was related to delivering. She had multiple miscarriages, all of them in Nigeria. Did you know that I was born there?
I did not know that. Yeah. You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
My eyeballs just popped out of their socket when you said Nigeria. I'm like, did she mean to say Nigeria?
Yeah.
Really?
So my parents, like, you know, Armenian, mom and dad, they married in Lebanon. And there was a time in the 70s when they had one of many wars, one of the biggest. So they knew that maybe hanging out there and living there wouldn't be the best. So my dad, who was a mechanic, had heard that through another very close family relative, my mom's uncle, had moved to Nigeria for work and found work there. And so people would move and work for these companies.
Wow.
And like redirect their whole family. So wow. I was born there as her first.
Wow.
Yeah. So growing up, I heard lots of stories about her having her hardships while having me and all the miscarriages she suffered. And I just was always drawn to like wanting to do something where I can help women, I guess. Honestly, this is like the earliest memories I have as childhood to like, I daydreamt about this stuff.
Wow. And well, when did you move here then?
I was six.
You were there for six. How have I known you this long? Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Jesus. They say you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
I don't know who they are, but they're not lying.
Darla, my daughter, you know, loves to ask that in her way to make it. Can we use certain words, by the way, here?
Everything.
Oh, we are.
Everything.
Okay. Yeah, you know, she can have dick tendencies with the way she asks questions. So she's like, who's they, mama? And I'm like, good question. I don't know. Something we say when it's an outside voice. It's they.
Yeah. We don't know who they are. But whoever they are geniuses most of the time. They say.
No. I swear to you, she's probably asking like 5 times, who's they? But it is an overused term.
Totally. Like, who the fuck's they?
It validates what you're saying.
Yeah. They, Darla. They. Capital. They.
Yeah. Yeah. So to answer your question, like from childhood. But ironically, there's no doctors in our family at all. At all. Not even close.
Wow.
My parents didn't have a chance to finish high school.
Blue collar, mostly, right?
Yeah, like work? Because they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, in Lebanon, like, that's what you did.
Yeah.
If you had a hard time, like, you'd take your kids out of school and had them work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, so, was Tony your brother? She has a brother named Tony. Was he born there, too?
Yes.
Because what's the difference of your guys' age?
5.5 years. Yeah, Tony was like 6 months old.
Wow. Wow, so I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I don't even know this lady, you guys. This is over. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's actually really amazing. So you then moved up to LA-ish.
Yeah, we moved to the Valley.
You moved to good old Valley.
Okay, no, listen to this. I guess the same uncle who inspired my parents to move there had moved now to the Valley. And I lived here for about a year and a half and in Van Nuys-ish.
That's right, Van Nuys.
So then they moved over because my father was a mechanic. Mm-hmm. So he found work towards Long Beach and in Bellflower. So I basically grew up from the time we moved from the Valley into Bellflower up until the point where I moved out and never only lived in that one house with my mom.
Wow.
And dad. I never asked you if you lived in one house growing up.
When I moved with my uncle, my mom and I moved in with my uncle, my mom's brother, and my cousin. I lived there for 9 years. That was the only time I ever lived in the same house.
That
for
was the longest stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was that the house you finally moved out of when you finally moved out?
My cousin was a piece of shit and she got heavily involved with dating very, very extreme gang members when she was about 16, that time frame. So we got in a big fight and my uncle was very upset and he kind of accused me of something. And I told my mom, I'm like, we're done here. So we moved my junior year to an apartment that we lived in. We lived in there for a while. I would say about 4 years. Mm. And then I moved down to San Diego. And I lived there for 12 years, but I still lived at home because, I mean, I went to school. I couldn't afford to go. Yeah. And I was so dumb when I think about like all the money I spent on doing like, oh, I want to go to Mexico and I want to go here and I want to go there. And there were some people who were like buying condos back then when it was like free. But you know, you lived your life. So I never saw my mom. But
if anything, yeah. Those experiences had to happen.
Yeah.
I admire that.
Yeah. We lived down there. I don't remember, probably about 10 years. And then I moved and then I was on my own. David and I've actually lived the longest with David, which was really the first person I ever lived with. Mm. Like besides, you know what I mean?
Good point.
Like I lived by myself. Yeah. And yes, I had, you know, I've had a relationship before. But David, I'm like, I still haven't killed him. I love him. God, I love him. God. Even though he sometimes snores.
Yes. We love him
anyway. We love him anyway. So then you decided to be a doctor, obviously, mm-hmm. or it was, you decided I'm going to be a doctor, not a veterinarian. And then what happened? What's that process like? Where did you, because you moved, you were in Ohio for medical school?
Yeah. So no, first what happened was so what usually happens is you go to college and most people just apply right when they finish college and you transition out. But my last year of college, my father passed away from a sudden heart attack.
Oh, that's right.
I put things on pause and wanted to be home with my mom. So I did that. That kind of delayed things.
Yeah.
But this is to lead up to why I was older actually than the average person starting medical school. So that happened and then I applied. And like many people from California, you kind of ignorantly think like, oh, I'll just cast this net because I really would rather stay home. So I only applied in California and I did not get in to any school of California.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Denied by all of them. So I'm like, shit.
You're like, suck it now, colleges. Yeah,
suck it. Hard. So swallow that pill.
And picked myself up by the bootstraps, yeah, started over.
Start over. But at this point, like, you're far in, you know. You're all eggs in this basket, okay? And back then, like, alternatives weren't as available in terms of, like, pursuing nurse practitioner. And anyways, it felt like, yeah. I'm kind of corn. But I still wanted, obviously. I knew it was a dream. So back to the drawing board. So this time I thought, I can't just reapply. I have to boost myself up, show myself up in some different way before you reapply. Because otherwise, you're the same person again. It's a game. So decided to do a school, like a program where you take it and you boost your resume.
Oh,
there and these are called post-bac programs. It's well known in the medical community.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I did these programs to make myself more appealing so that when you finally reapply, you can get in. And I actually ended up then applying to the same school in Ohio that I actually took that last program in. And I went and got into the Ohio school, which was a blessing. At first, I thought, oh, God, Ohio. I don't even know any. It's so far from home.
And it's so fucking cold. But, you know, Wasn't it so freezing in the winter?
But I loved it. I got to experience snow, like, living it. Honestly.
Was that four years?
Well, five with the kids.
Yeah.
But through those programs, I did one in Illinois and then in Ohio. And that's through these programs is how I met Brian, because he was doing one of them as well. My husband.
See, that is.
Yeah. So that's how I got into medical school.
There we go. Now, did you always know you wanted to be?
OB?
Yeah.
No? You go through medical school. You do some rounds of rotations.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of
get to
I've watched Grey's Anatomy, Marlene. So yeah. I'm very privy.
Kind of follow the
pattern. Very good with the medical field and how it works.
I'm seeing some awareness of all the steps. So.
That is my doctor. My doctorate is in Grey's Anatomy.
So in medical school, they have these rotations that you rotate and you get to, you have to do them. And so with each one, you kind of get to know what you like and what you don't.
Right.
But you have a year to do it. You got to get your act together in a year. Because by then, at the end of the year,
you kind of already narrowed it down a little?
Yeah, you do. So you get a sense of like surgery. Do you like surgeries or not? You know, do you like people or not? Like, not to say that, you know, some specialties, there's less human interaction.
Right.
So I did I went through all that and through that I realized, you know what? I really like enjoy my time with women. Like I like taking care of them. Oh, and I get to operate. Oh, and I get to deliver. I mean, like, to me, OBGYN is like the most exciting.
Yeah. But also
tough.
I was gonna say
pays you pay price.
I feel tough for many reasons, and tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know this is not about any, this is just as a blanket statement. There's not besides the fact that it's tough for terrible situations, you know, right? Yeah. Like if there's bad situations. But also women are challenging, especially when they're nervous or I'm sure when a little scared or it's their first or really it could be any, you know. So I'm sure that's a little hard because as we know, women
need to be helped in all sorts of ways.
All sorts of ways.
Emotional and physical.
Yeah. And you know, if something is, you know, it's when they're scared, they kind of just go at you, you know, not go at you, but I'm sure.
No.
I mean, we know how it is.
It is.
So that's what you picked right away. Like that's what you said.
Yeah, after my third year, you have to know. And that's when I realized, yes, I really enjoyed my time because my rotation actually was ironically bad, believe it or not. Like my OBGYN rotation, I shouldn't say bad, it was tough. the physician I trained with, because you get assigned certain groups. Some students were assigned a group where you just sort of had a few physicians to work with, and I had this woman who had a private practice. And so for 6 to 8 weeks, like, I rotated with her, with another medical student. That was her, that she was my teacher for those weeks.
Oh.
And she was very unhappy. Medical students. Like, it was obvious. Like, out of the room, she made our lives hell.
Oh, shit. Like, yes, I got the best one.
I'm going to say that she was unkind to it. But in the room, magical. Oh, my gosh. I saw the love she exuded to her patients and vice versa. Like, it was magical.
Wow.
Yes.
She's like Dr. Jekyll.
So I'm so grateful to her.
Yeah.
For those moments I witnessed, because I'm like, okay, I'm actually really appreciating, like, what I'm seeing. I'm going to set that aside.
Yeah. We're going to go with what I'm seeing inside, just, not what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but despite, like, how horrible the experience was with her personally, I really still enjoyed it. So I knew, okay, this is my field.
Oh, my
gosh. So that's how I picked it. When I finally got through her experience. Yeah.
And then
I moved. And so what you do is you finish medical school. And once you've picked medical school, you've applied and you've matched. That's a whole process. Once you apply and you find a program that likes you and you like them, you match, you go through this match process. That's a whole other thing. And then you find out where you go. And I happened to cast my net towards New York schools, because that's where Brian was, and then California programs. And I ended up getting to California.
Yes.
And that's where I moved there.
Now, do you do rotations before you?
So you do residency now.
Oh, residency now.
After medical school, you're called a doctor, but you have to train in whatever specialty.
Whichever
specialty you picked has an X amount of years. So if you're a general surgeon, it's 5 years. If it's OBGYN, it's 4 years. So I did 4 years with Kaiser Sunset. That's where I trained.
Oh, wow. You were in the
Kaiser.
Yes, that's, and Sunset, that's like the Mecca, I feel, of Kaiser.
Well, yeah. So because it's a big center, they did a prep program.
Yeah.
Lots of training programs went through there. They have pediatric, surgical. So there was a few.
And then when you were done there is when you were blessed to go to the place that you were.
I
was blessed.
I went to private practice. Let me see. When you and I met, I think it was my third year after residency. Year three after residency.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was, we just bonded. We just bonded. And it was funny because I have like weird, there's things that, you know, I don't like. I don't like slimy stuff. I don't like belly buttons.
Gonna say belly button. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you taught me that.
So Marlene says to me, excuse me, Dr. Kaluuyan at the time. Now we're Marlene. Mm-hmm. She said to me, do you have any questions? So I was kind of just, she was kind of just telling me my first visit again. David wasn't there. I was very nervous. I wanted to just be one-on-one, you know.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember she's like, so Jennifer, do you have any questions you want to ask me? And I'm like, is my belly button really going to stick out? And I think that was my first question. And you were like, that's what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Like, I was so paranoid that my belly button, because I hate fucking belly buttons. I hate them. And I remember thinking, she's going to
think I still remember you asking me that, because I thought it was cool that you don't like them. I'm like, wow, she feels passionate about
that. I was really passionate. Yeah. It was enough that I warranted it as my first question.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like question in 97.
It was impressive.
When you're like waiting, I was like, that's all I got. And she's like, what the fuck?
I'm like, I can answer that. Done.
Sound good. Done. I sound like I've been here for 23 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I just remember thinking, what a fucking dumbass I am. That was what I asked. And she's like, that's it. I'm like, that's it. And she's like, okay, then I'll see you next time. And, you know, then David came in, obviously more questions and, you know, that type of thing. But I just remember thinking, I'm so stupid. Like, it was just so funny.
Not at all. Honestly, it was magical with us.
I know. It was.
I don't know why I remember certain things about you.
Because I'm somebody to remember.
I remember the belly button. I remember you telling me about Penelope. Maybe because I love her name.
Yes.
For a dog.
Yes.
And I love how much you loved her.
I love her.
So during our visits, we talk about her.
We are.
Remember?
You had
Biggie. Yeah.
And we talked about our dogs and David.
Our love for animals.
Yeah, and our love for animals and Penelope. If we didn't get a puppy and we didn't name her Penelope, I believe Charlotte would have been Penelope because I love it.
I remember
Penny.
You telling me that.
Yeah, because I wanted it to be Penny as her nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's still not sticking, but we're gonna get it to stick eventually with Charlotte. But those are things I remember. But it was this connection. I felt like I always had an impression, or growing up going to doctors, you know, it's like just very sterile. It wasn't that these people were, it was just, I just had this connection. It was almost like, you know, Cupid, but in a different way, just had an arrow and it went to you. And I had no idea. Well, first of all, how amazing. Now, Brian, your husband now, who's your boyfriend then, but he wasn't even in the picture, meaning he was doing his stuff cross country. So like, I knew you had a boyfriend, but I just felt this connection with you. And then little did I know when he moved, and then we all get along, and it, and our kids, and it's just, you know, obviously that's going a little bit forward, but I was just so lucky. I remember thinking, she's so kind. I wonder if she's kind because she knows I'm nervous. I wonder if she's got, and I'm like, no, she's like the kindest person ever. You're the kindest person ever. And I know a lot of people, and I'm not just saying that, like, you're so awesome as a human. But as a doctor, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but just, you know, different, you know, things that you're nervous about and things that happen, you know. But I remember when she told me she was pregnant, I mean, again, it was like a couple months before Charlotte was born. And I remember crying. I was so excited. I remember getting tears and then telling David, and I was so excited. And I was so excited for her. And again, Brian, we knew he existed, never saw him. He was, you know, he was doing,
I,
you know, amazing
things. Do you remember? I actually do.
I know.
We were in the hallway.
Yes.
Moving out of the room.
Yes. We were leaving the room.
And I was so touched by your feelings.
I know. So I felt like genuinely like so happy, and it was amazing and wonderful, and then you know, obviously you delivered Charlotte, and then I was just like, let's see if we'll still could talk, and we did, and then you had Darla, and
we
stayed in touch, and
again talking about Monarch.
Yes. And then it was like, oh my gosh, I have to go to work. I didn't win the lottery.
The
you know, all you had to go back to work. And then I'm like, I didn't win the lottery, so apparently I have to go back to work. And then she had, you know, she's obviously, not obviously, but she's a doctor and she was delivering. So, I mean, her schedule was 1,000 times more intense. But then there was this little school that's right by us. And I said, where do you take Darla now? Because I think your mom at the time was helping a little bit. And then, but
we
you're like,
I 7 months.
Yeah.
Until Darla was like around eight. Yeah.
Yeah. She was helping, but you know, it gets to be a lot more. And plus she wanted her in a thing. And then I was like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And we found this little, you, not me, take the we out of that. You found this nugget school. It was called Monarch Christian. Huh?
It was like a little piece of heaven.
It was a slice of heaven dipped in love and angel wings and glitter.
Well, perfectly said.
It was so amazing. I remember my first day bringing Charlotte. She had told me, Darla had been going, let's just say a month. I don't know how long, but let's just say a month. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start with 2 days. And, you know, my business was starting, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't read. I have this thing where just tell me. Sometimes I don't read all the stuff you need to read. And I guess it had said, we provide snacks, you know, we provide diapers, you just bring wipes or whatever it said. So I went to like Target or something and I bought this pack of like 20 snack containers. Okay. I made little labels. I brought 10 different snack containers for her. She was probably about a year and a half at this point, or a little younger, right around there. I come in with this stack. David's holding Charlotte. I have 2 packs of wipes. I have, you know,
first drop off day.
David went with me. And I come in, they're all labels like Cheerios, you know, Puffs, you know, all the bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she's like, hi, you know, oh my gosh, we're so excited to meet Charlotte, blah, blah, blah. And I see Darla, David sees Darla. So David kind of takes Charlotte like over to that area. And I'm standing there and she's like, I don't know if you read, but you don't need to bring snacks. And I just had a meltdown. I was like sobbing. I'm like, I don't need to bring the snacks. And she's like, well, we provide snacks. And we, and oh, and I brought water and milk. And she's like, no milk. I think she said no milk, or
I don't
remember what I brought, but she goes, I don't know if it was milk or, I can't remember if we had to do formula. I don't remember, but whatever I did was wrong. And then I had this stack of these little round, you know, the little round circles with the lid. She's like, you can just take those home. And I was like, oh. I look at David, he's like, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And I'm like, and then Charlotte didn't even care. I'm thinking she's going to be.
She had a good drop.
She just dropped him. He just set her down next to Darla in the hippos. I think they were in the hippos.
Yes.
And we left. I'm hysterical. You would have thought it was my first day. And David's looking at me and he's like, let me just carry all those snacks he didn't need.
First day drop off.
And I was so heavy. And then from then on, it was like the most magical, magical place. And I'll tell you, that's where you and I continued, you know, growing our friendship. Or and the girls just, Marlene and I still, you know, memories will come up on your phone or picture memories or whatever. And we just send each other when they were in there. And it was so magical.
Yeah.
And it was interesting is this just recently happened was there was another little girl, Brinley, and she was a little bit younger. And so we kind of called them the Three Musketeers. And Marlene is a lot more friendly with parents. Like she would go and she knew all these parents. I didn't. I maybe because I went late or I don't know. But she's like, oh,
and also,
you delivered a lot of these people. Like, so she,
I gave birth
she's,
to them.
she, you know, delivered all these parents' babies. And I was just like, she's like, oh, there's this, you know, this mom, Christy and Brinley and come over. So we had like, that's how we started this interaction. Well, the three of them.
No, but for the record, I did not deliver.
You did not deliver. No, you didn't. But you deliver. You helped deliver them.
Yes,
you,
other ones.
Oh, okay.
Other friends.
Oh, okay. You didn't do Brinley. Oh, got it. Okay. So the girls were just these three little musketeers and they were just little peanuts.
Yeah.
And anyways, cut to now. We went to camp and Brinley's mom works at the camp and, you know, Brinley's there and Darla and Charlotte were going together for a couple weeks and Brinley's mom sends a picture of the three girls and she's like, the Three Musketeers are back or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all of those great memories just like
from two, three, four.
And three and four just poofed in my heart. And I was like, this is so great. And Marlene being so awesome, she's like, okay, the three of them are doing a play date. Like if not tomorrow, then next week. Yeah. And we did it a week later and it was just amazing.
Because year after year, you know what I realized? Like, for me, because you know, I don't have much a big extended family out here.
Yeah.
You know, right? We're just like building this new family nugget from scratch.
Yep.
You know, obviously I'm grateful to have my brother and whoever you know in my life. But anyways, I was really yearning for these traditions and, you know, rituals.
Yes.
That you want to include in your family and not realizing it was naturally already happening with us.
It was already happening.
A tradition to have Easter together.
We were doing Christmas Eve together.
Obviously, it doesn't have to be perfect, but we have so many beautiful memories. Oh. I'm so grateful to you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful.
Extension.
And we call, and so I know, and you guys are our family, and it's just, it's so nice. And, you know, Darla now goes to a different school, and, you know, Charlotte obviously goes to a different school, blah, blah, blah. But we still, the connection, but the girls, it's funny because it's Darla and Charlotte. And when we say it real quick, we'd always say Charla. Mm-hmm. It would be like a real quick thing. So then it became their hashtag. It's like hashtag Charla because they play so well together. They're so fun. And now as they're growing, especially Darla, like for a period, I hadn't seen her for, you know, a couple months or I'm like, Darla, your hair. It's like she all of a sudden took like her hair is so beautiful and long for a while there. It was like medium length. And all of a sudden now it's like this luscious and she's just like, she's so talented in so many things.
Thank you.
She teaches Charlotte some stuff. Well, Darla does this and Darla does this. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, honey. I don't know. We can try the gymnastics. I don't know that you're going to do the same moves as Darla with the same grace.
You know, Charlotte, honestly, I told you this on the way here, is it's not just Darla. Like we love hanging out with Charlotte.
Thank you. She loves it. We love it. We love you guys. It's just, it's such a nice
friendship has blossomed even in
this
direction.
Oh my gosh. You're, yeah, it's so great. And I don't know. You guys, if you have it, and you know, a lot of times when I have people on and it's just talking, you know, I want to hear about, we're obviously going to talk about Marlene's, you know, her profession, because I want to dial in on that. But it's like, if you have friends or you have moments and you know, it's so special and you treasure them, because, you know, David and I said this on our last podcast, like, you just don't know what's happening next. You don't know, you know, we take for granted every day. I don't take for granted these people. I do not take for granted. I don't take for granted the fact that Sharla exists. I don't take for granted that Marlene is amazing and Brian is hilarious and is just so amazing too. And they're just awesome. And they're just awesome. And
awesome.
Yeah, I know if people know this, if they have it, embrace it, hug it, love it. Yeah. You know, we were so busy as people and we sometimes forget, right? It's not intentional. Doesn't mean I'm mad or anything. I'm sure same with you, your busy life. But we take those moments, and it's so nice to have you just chatting, and people can hopefully relate to that. Yeah. And with that also being said, tell me a little bit about your practice, and then what's changed since, because now it's with Brian, right?
Well,
so
yeah.
Tell, I mean, I know Brian will be on here one day, guys, but I wanted to grab her first and steal her.
So basically, obviously, when we met, I was still full-fledged an OBGYN, obstetric parts and the gynecologic part. But through the years, as soon as Darla can basically turn 6 to 7, I realized, as much as I love that part of the practice and delivering women, that it was taking its toll on the time I had personally with her. And so I made that tough decision to basically retire from doing the OB part. So I'll see pregnant women in the beginning, but I no longer deliver, unfortunately. So I had to just retire that.
Yeah. And it was brutal, guys. We saw it firsthand. Like, you know, it was, I mean, not brutal, but I mean, like, you'd be in the middle of dinner and it would be like, okay. And, you know, that's fine. But, you know, Darla's only up for a certain time.
Well,
and
of course.
You know, and those things. And
it was just that simple.
Yeah, it was. Know? And that's a great, I mean, honestly, that's what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you did it.
I mean, choosing to spend that time. So I stopped doing that. And now I focus primarily just only on general gynecology. You know, I'll see patients for anything pelvic related, and I'll operate. And so that's the full-time practice. But with Brian, he's my husband, Brian Huang. He is a aesthetic plastic surgeon. So we practice together in the same space. He's obviously, he does his part and then I do my part, but we're in the same space now. And that's lovely.
How is that?
Lovely.
Is it weird?
It's our dream.
Not at all. No.
It's been a dream.
Yeah. No,
since
I
we were
imagine.
In school, in student.
Oh,
students.
I love it. I love it.
It was a dream.
Yeah. I didn't know if it's one of those things where, I mean, but you guys are.
We just honestly didn't know it would happen.
Yeah.
You know, because you finish residency and we're like, oh, okay, I found my job. And then he had, you know, had to finish his training and then that finally happened. And so, anyways, we're finally in our own space together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And is it weird not doing the OB part or no?
At first it was.
Yeah, but now it's kind of...
Because your body, I had to go through a lot of physical changes, actually. I had a whole year of feeling like, what's going on? I had this baseline anxiety.
Okay.
Like functioning.
Yeah.
I'd wake up, my heart would be racing, and I'm like, that's interesting.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me call Jennifer, my Grey's Anatomy doctor.
And then it would wear off. Like by lunch.
Yo, okay.
Okay. I'm like, that's interesting. And then, I'm wrapping up the office and, look at that heart racing again, like for a few hours. And twice a day I'd go through this. I kid you not, it took 6 months to realize, okay, that's when I used to get all my calls. Like, I'd wake up in the morning, assess my day, figure out, okay, who's in labor? What do I have to do to work around the office so I can, like, not, you know, disappoint people who had visits that I had to cancel?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I was like, okay, how do I organize my home life?
Yes.
So then at 6 months, literally, like, that calmed down. Like, the body forgot about it.
It's like, you're not getting those crazy calls right now, Marlene. You're okay. Take a deep breath.
God. But it was just, like, on autopilot. So that got better.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was like, okay, whoa, all right.
Now what?
Let's join planet Earth. What's up?
My feet are grounded now.
I swear I was like in space. I feel like, okay, wow, looks like I can go places.
I can actually make a plan. Vacations were, but remember, vacations were hard.
Couldn't leave for more than 3-4 days without feeling guilty. Self-induced guilt, huh?
Right. Yeah. We talked about that driving over here. Yeah, and I've said this before on talking just about, you know, life and not even just regular life, but, you know, being a mom and stuff. Ever since I've had Charlotte, I've had more guilt. And it's like you said, sometimes it's just silly guilt. It's guilt that is my own guilt. There's nobody making me feel guilty, but you know, you're like, I'm allowed to take a vacation, but you would feel guilty about it. And, you know, the times that you probably had to go at night, right before bedtime, you felt guilty about it because you weren't going to.
Just different guilt hats.
Yeah, just, you know, exactly. Like
professional guilt, wife guilt, mom exactly. guilt, sister guilt, daughter guilt, and everything guilt, and friend all the guilt.
Yeah, I mean, guilt is something that is something I just was like, oh, you know, where is this all coming from? Like, but I have it. I have it even now. Like with certain, but
acknowledging is the first part, right?
Yeah,
you just when you're having it in real time, you're like. You're not consciously thinking, I'm inadequate.
Right.
But that's really what the guilt feeling is sourced from, like, oh, I'm not doing enough.
I'm not doing enough.
And then that's obviously something we have to work on.
Yeah. And we all, you know, women feel that way. I feel, you know, I'm sure men have it in a different way, but I know women, we have so many.
We are biggest critic.
We are. And we have 17 hats. Yeah. You know, and we expect all of them to be like perfect. CEOs of perfection, mm-hmm. you know, and 100%. It's like, and then the second we don't, we let ourselves down, right? Mm. We're letting ourselves down. But yeah, you are around, you actually are on planet Earth more. There's more things happening that you can actually participate in.
Right,
cause you know, it'd be like, oh, not this weekend, I'm on call or nothing, which is not a bit, it's part of who you were, but now we evolved.
Yeah.
And one of the things we mentioned in our evolution of things is, you know, the girls are 9 and you know, they still need us and they still, you know, Charlotte still wants mommy, you know, but she also likes to talk to her friends and she likes mm-hmm. to go and do play dates and she likes, you know, so there's that little bit of ease, a little bit of where you're not hovering as much or kind of, you know, and
they have other interests.
They just hanging out with us,
yeah.
Which is, you know, a good thing, of course. Yeah. But with that being said, I had mentioned to you again on our drive, we should have recorded the whole thing because we had some really, but one of the things we said was, you know, I'd always wanted to do a podcast
yes.
and I feel, and this is going to lead to you, is I love it. I love talking and I love meeting and talking to
natural at it.
Thank you. And I have the time to do it. Like I can say, or Charlotte's come here a couple times and just been in the other room talking to her friends or whatever. And I have the time. I don't feel guilty. I come here and I do it and I get to enjoy my time doing this. And, you know, I wouldn't have done that 2 years ago.
Right.
I always had an excuse and it was, you know, I mean, believe me, there's always shit going on with Charlotte that I feel guilty if I'm late or whatever, but I'm there. And with you, you're also kind of having a little bit of a revelation, right?
Absolutely. Parallel. Yeah. I mean, maybe a little odd, but you know.
But you're also thinking of other things outside of the norm, right?
And exactly. Like because, so you get to the space where, okay, you realize like just giving yourself that time lets you at least breathe to think about things beyond what you're seeing in front of you because I was on autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm so grateful. So then that transitioned into this, natural flow of, okay, what gives me joy in the GYN part? And then I started to think about things and how the aesthetics of like certain surgeries I do. You know, I love all types of surgery. I wouldn't do this if I didn't. But certain ones really give me joy. And the ones
you're like, when it's scheduled, I pump my fist a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And those are primarily, you know, the ones that are with aesthetics, like people who need labioplasties, vaginoplasties. Like I walk out of the OR thinking, that looks really beautiful to me.
I would never say that sentence, but that's okay. That's okay.
I do. Okay. And so I thought, all right, how can I let people know that this is something I really want to specialize more in? So really, I need to take advantage of this forum. And then that led to, okay, if I am going to be outspoken about things and how do I draw people to come to get to know that? Okay, getting to know myself. Okay, what is it about me that I want to kind of portray? Well, I like to teach, actually. I was a teacher for a year. Did you know that?
So there's two things they say you learn in a day.
This is a dark buried secret.
I didn't know that.
To my brother, because he was in high school. Like Tony, if Tony's listening to this, he's going to roll his eyes hard.
Oh, he will too.
Oh, and you know, he's an eye roller.
He is an eye roller. He's CEO of eye rolling. I feel there's a huff in there too something.
Look at you, and you've witnessed it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tenso.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a senior. The year that this was before medical school, the year of transition when I was trying to boost my resume.
Yeah.
This was the year I failed and I had to find work too. I didn't get in the first time, so I needed to work. You got to bounce out of it.
Yep.
You got bills to pay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I taught and I did it because I thought I'd be good at this, I think, because I was tutoring my brother and being a tutor to make money.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure my way out into college and school. So I was good at teaching. I taught for a year.
Wow.
I taught math for that year.
Oh my gosh. Did you really?
That's a whole other story. Yeah.
Holy moly. I did not know that.
Yeah. I like teaching. I teach my patients and I enjoy it. So I'm going to be a teacher online. And so anyways, like you said, room time has given way to thoughts about getting to know what you like what the hell you like and what else you'd like to do to spark joy in your career and your life.
Yeah. You know, you see those people that, you know, you see them on the movies, TVs, whatever. They've gone to the same office. They carry the same lunch. They sit at the same desk. They do the same stuff.
Yeah.
And they're content with it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's, you know, for them. I'm not like that. You're not like that.
Yeah.
We had to be like that for, I think, just a little more,
of course,
you know,
everything
reserved.
Has its time.
Reserved with what we could do because of time and because, you know,
Responsibilities
and, you know, and also Brian's busy too. So you guys have, you know, a little different dynamic too, because it's like he probably is busy on, you know, you guys have to work your schedules too. And Darla's life is busy because, you know, they have better social lives than I do.
Most of my social stuff
is now through, I'm like, I'm going to a birthday party.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to a birthday party.
We're woven in their DNA.
Yeah.
Calendar.
But yeah, I'm sure, you know, we status quo is, I'm not good with that. I mean, I get bored and I like to change things up but I also like to, I'm a sponge. Like I want my brain to constantly,
I love that about you.
Let's try something else. Always growing,
always seeing what else you can do to.
Yeah. And it doesn't always happen, but I don't journal. I probably should, but I do have a journal of the top, like 10 things that I want to do. And I've put them in the list of the order.
How long have you been doing that?
That's probably been the last year.
Year?
Really last, maybe 2 years.
Before that, you were just kind of like a daydreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daydreamer. Okay. Okay. Maybe I'd make notes or something, like a little post-it. Like, remember, you want to...
do you write that every day or do you do it like...
No,
you just
like,
kind of put it down and...
I wouldn't do it every day, but I would say at least probably once a week I look at it and add something to it.
Ooh, wow.
I would say, because I usually am in that, you know, that notebook, I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, you know what? I was thinking while I was driving, because I'm always driving. I'm going here, there, everywhere.
Because that's what they say.
What?
Right? It only adds towards manifest.
Yeah.
Right? When you
yes. Yes. You put it out there. You put it in the universe. And will it happen instantaneously? No. But I just, some days I'll be sitting there and I'll maybe, you know, I'm like, I keep talking about going back and getting my master's. And I'm like, you know, in psychology, behavioral psychology. And I'm like, oh. And then some days I'm like, am I really going to do that? I don't know. But it's still there. It's not in my top, but it's still there because it's like something I want to do. But everything else, I'll think of something. I'm like, oh, what if I do this? And I'll add a bullet point or a little quick.
You know what I always wanted?
Huh?
A law degree.
Oh, yeah.
I want to spit out law like it's like, I'm sitting.
I want to spit out law and make my own laws while I'm at it.
When I talk to my attorney friends, I'm like, man, that's
I know.
Sexy.
A lot of my clients are
it's
lawyers.
Hot.
It is. It's, yeah.
Attorney dialogue is, I think, sexy.
Yeah, it's like...
So I want to just spit out law.
And I have a few clients, a lot of clients, and actually one yesterday, he's actually changing his profession starting the beginning of November, going to law school. He told me that yesterday. And
I was
like...
What was he doing before?
I'm going to pronounce this wrong, like RVI. It's some kind of like herbal doctor, but not herbal like weed,
but like... related.
Yeah, like Arviata or something. It's come some kind of practice. And anyways, he was a like a doctor in that. And he also on the side did like herb mixing, herbs.
What an interesting
day. Yeah, really interesting. So he's telling me that because I opened up this cupboard to do, like I was walking through their house. He had like 100 of these really cool jars. They were all labeled. It was my dream.
Of my apothecary.
It was like apothecary dream. I opened it up and I'm like.
Were they brown?
And they were, and they had these little cool
wooden top.
Yes, like a little wooden, like a, and like a little thing. And he had it labeled. And I look and I'm thinking, why am I here? This guy just, my dreams came true. Really? And he's like, well, I used to, he's like, I'm a blah, 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 whatever. He's our, I'm going to kill it. Specialist. And I have a practice, but I actually, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go to law school starting next month. And I was like,
yes.
Back up. Hold on a second. See? I just saw the most amazing jar. But he has two little kids. His wife is, you know, she has a side business, like a home business. But he's like, yeah, I just.
Very cool.
And I was like, wow, see, you always, you know, some people, they're just born to be status quo. And that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. You're happy. You know, David is content in the family business where I'm like, David, you could do this, 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 and this. Yeah. And he's like, I know, but I'm really good at this, this, and this. And I'm like every day. So if I can't change my.
I love how
goals and
but David has joy that sparks in his job like no other. And through that, I'm like, yeah, they heard her. When you talk to him, you see it.
Oh gosh,
and he's contagious.
You know, you smile, and I'm like, I don't care about those parts you're telling me about, but you're smiling, so I'm smiling.
Yeah, I love that.
He's so passionate about it, and he loves it, and it's a reflection of his dad, I think, and that's also brings him so much happiness. With your new revelation of trying something that brings you joy, you are going to launch social media. You're going to launch all of those things. But you also just got back from a conference, right?
Yes.
And that was amazing.
It was so good.
Now, do they have these conferences regularly in something? Oh, when I say regularly, like once a month, I know they're everywhere. Where did you go this time?
This one was a cosmetic gynecology conference out in Florida. There's certain committees and societies of specialties. There's several out there you can do, but this one happens annually, or actually twice a year.
Okay.
And this is for surgeons, whether you're a plastic surgeon or gynecologist or general surgeon, certain specialties that operate can go and basically learn the most advanced surgical techniques for things that are meant to beautify our pelvic area. So if you have issues with your labia majora, there's certain things you can do to improve it. Same with other parts, labia minora, vagina. We can go into anatomy later.
Or as Charlotte would say, pachina.
Or Darla, front butt.
I forgot about that.
So the story is Darla hadn't been taught at 2 years old, or maybe a year and a half, what vagina was. And so she referred to it as front butt. And I thought that was the most brilliant.
Amazing.
Use of words.
God, it was amazing.
It does look like a front butt at that age.
At that age it does,
But some people, as adults, want front butts. I kid you not.
Really?
Yes, and that's okay.
That's okay.
What does that mean? I mean, I'm coining this term.
Front butt.
Per Darla, my daughter.
She was well beyond her years.
Yes.
She
front butt look as an adult would be. Can I speak?
Yes.
In that way. It would be if you like use, you know what I mean when I say labia majora minora? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay, good. Let's go. Let's get into it.
Okay.
The hair part, the part that grows hair is the majora. The mounds that you meet when you launch from the thighs. Thigh into that part. Okay. Right? Are you following?
Yes.
Labia majora, hair. Most people have hair there. Okay. Then you get into the sort of pinker area of the lips.
Sure.
That's the minora, where we don't have hair.
Okay.
Some people it's very long, short, medium. There's different lengths. And then as you get into the vagina, you're in the vagina. Some people prefer to have the majora be bigger than the minora.
Whoa.
So what can you do? Lots of things, turns out.
Turns out Marlene's going to be on that. She's going to fix
now,
it all.
What was lovely is I already do most, if not all of these.
You do,
But I wanted to see if there was more to the techniques that I can enhance. Turns out there are, and it was lovely. So I
now,
got
when
to
you,
leave.
When you were leaving there, did you go, Darla was totally right. It is a front butt.
No. I mean, I just knew that's just one type that women like.
No.
So, yeah, but yes.
Yeah. Can I say something? Well, right. I can. Right. And I don't mean this in a way that is like against men. Because I just had a physical a couple weeks ago, and at Kaiser, they give you a doctor if you've never been there before. And it was like a male. And when I called to make an appointment, it was like the guy said to me, do you want a female or do you want the male? And I was like, I want a female. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in like a way. I just feel that there's certain areas, I'm not saying a man can't be
right.
A gynecologist, it's a sensitive area. Yeah. But it's like,
it's hard.
It'd be like you being a penis doctor, like saying that you understand what it's, and I'm not, I know it's a lot different than that, but just from a normal Joe Schmo like myself, I would think most comfort would be with a woman when you're talking about things that are, you know, like, you know, I don't want to say, but you know, you have concerns down there, whatever, whatever. Apparently I'm a child. I can't even say it. I'm like, whatever, whatever. But I was like, I would feel more comfortable with a woman than a man because, you know, they don't know when you're telling them, you know, how it feels. You might say, I totally know what you mean. Yeah, I had that one time or whatever. Where a man is just, it's all textbook. It's not organic, right? It's not natural.
It's not unique to feel that way. There's a gray zone of vulnerability that you have to acknowledge here in what we do. And just like urology, maybe vice versa, right? Like if you're a male patient, perhaps you'd feel more comfortable seeing a male urologist because that genital area is like you're in sort of vulnerable place.
Yeah.
But I will say for all those male colleagues, honestly, there are out there, not all of them, but there's definitely some solid male gynecologists
that should
be valued because after all, it's a medical place. I'll be honest too with you. There was a time where I felt the stigma of being judged for who I was, for what I lacked personally. So when I didn't, be honest, when I did not have Darla, okay, and I had not had a child.
Oh, yes.
There are some real patients out there who would ask me, have you had a child? I'd say no. And I could feel it. Not everybody, okay? Very select few.
Right.
But I felt it. Ooh, I felt the judginess.
I didn't think about that.
Oh, I felt it hard.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
They'd say, well, really? And they did feed, and they were really transparent about it too. They'd say, you know, how would you understand? How do you understand how it feels to be in labor and have a child? And it was a tough question to answer. It's true. Had I felt it? No. But there is a certain degree of medical intervention and empathy that you have to appreciate that has to come forth.
Would you ask
your cardiologist if they've had heart surgery? You wouldn't really think of it, would you?
No.
But a gynecologist, I guarantee a lot of my peers out there can relate to that question. We've been asked.
You know, I didn't think about that, actually. Mm-hmm. I just think about, you know, the comfortability of you're looking down there. But, I can imagine people saying that.
Yeah. I can see it, too.
Oh,
I can see where it's coming from, but it's a tough one to answer.
That is probably, and you're like, ooh, yeah. Tough crowd, lady.
Tough
crowd. Tough crowd.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, I didn't even think about that. I don't know why I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen things that are, you know, hard and difficult. And I want to say one thing because I want to say this to you.
Okay.
I want to say this because I know that people have this issue in life, and I know that if you're listening, you're not alone, but having someone, Marlene, like Marlene in your life, a doctor who became a friend, but it wasn't because she was my friend, it was because she's an amazing person and doctor. When I was struggling with fertility after Charlotte, and I was really struggling with everything. I mean, even just, I would see her and instantly start crying because I almost felt bad because I took advantage of Marlene's knowledge and kindness and all of those things. But I still struggle with not having another baby.
No,
daily.
No, you do.
Daily.
And you didn't take advantage of me.
And I appreciate that. But having her go above and beyond what I would imagine, probably because of her kindness and gentle just heart, she did things. She called fertility doctors and talked for me because I didn't understand. And also because I couldn't talk, I couldn't function. And a lot of days I still can't, because I always just think that we were going to have a bigger family. So it's very hard. And I'm approaching an age where, not that I was young before, but you kind of like, there's a lot of finality to mm-hmm. turning. I mean, you know, whatever, a 50, I guess, whatever.
It's a blessing.
I'm so thankful mm-hmm. that we both, because we both were in the same boat for a hot minute.
I went
minute.
Through it too.
You went through
I
it
did.
Too.
I and did. As, I went through infertility right there with you.
You did. And we talked about it, and mm-hmm. you know, you had a couple moments, and mm-hmm. then you kind of said, all right, this yeah. isn't the path, or this is, I need to do this instead. Mm-hmm. I can't get past that yet. And I try, but without you.
We really haven't talked about it
yeah,
recently.
We haven't. I've mentioned this before. I cry every single day in my car, probably for about 5 minutes, or in home for about 5 minutes. And there's something, oh. sometimes it's a trigger, sometimes it's a moment, you know, whatever, but
I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't think about it either. You know, Darla brings it up.
Yeah. I mean, Charlotte brings it up. She even told me, you know, not that long ago, I would say within the last couple weeks, yeah. you know, Mom, I'd be okay with a brother.
Yeah.
I wanted a sister, but I'd be okay with a brother too. And I'm just like, you know, but you saved me in so many ways. You were honest when a lot of people wouldn't have been. And you were just, you just oh. knew like how much I needed just, I don't know, you, your oh. voice, your knowledge, your, thanks. Like everything. And so as I know, when people listen to podcasts, you pick certain things, and I know each one is different, and sometimes there's laughs, and there is laughs. Marlene and I, and all of us, David and Brian, we've all laughed a million things. The girls have so many memories, but as a woman and as a mom, I appreciate you because you saved me, like, from just being in this vortex of just shit, and you've helped me a lot. And I publicly am thanking you because—
wow, thank you so much.
Because I still struggle, and I know you probably struggle maybe internally, but not as open as I am about it. I mean, I'm not open, but— I do cry every single day still, and I really have a hard time because I do.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it'll change. I know one day, I keep waiting for that one day where I'm going to be okay with it.
Honestly, it makes me sad as a friend because I feel like I did find closure. I still, not completely, but I did, and I feel sad that I haven't picked up that.
No, I try not to put it down.
I didn't realize
it's like a cloud of turds.
Hurting. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And you know, David and I have talked about it. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
When I say all the time, you know, once something will come up and I'll say to him, you know, something, and he'll, you know, and I'll be like, tell me that you're okay with us not having any more babies. And he's like, I can't do that.
Well, that doesn't help.
Exactly. And I need him to say that.
Yeah.
And have you, and I wanted to ask, have you and Brian, you both, I mean, I know you kind of wanted, Brian was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But ever mentioned that he wishes?
No, that did help. It helped that Brian actually felt like I was more invested than in having more than he was. And that did help. I'll be frank with you.
Yeah.
He did say, hey, you know what? It's all good. I was just really supporting you, and I'm ready to move on from it. It's tough when your partner hasn't found closure.
Yeah, it is. We actually.
And that's something I think, yeah, you got to work on with him, because how can you without him?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, because I feel like if you say it.
Absolutely, Jennifer.
If you say it,
absolutely.
Then maybe I can say it to myself.
Yes.
And I actually, like a year and a half ago, maybe I had him go to the fertility therapist.
Okay, good.
And I said, okay. And she's good. And she said, what did he what is David, what do you want from this visit? And I said, I want you to ask David, like, you know, we need to get closure on this topic because I can't do it. I'm not strong enough to do it. And he said, so she said, what's your intention? I told her, I said, you know, I just want to be realistic. Like, you know, it's not looking great. And also, because it's not looking great financially, it's killing us. Mm-hmm. If we keep trying, you know what I mean? You know,
absolutely.
So expensive. It's so all these things and just heartbreaking. And we sat down and I'm thinking, here it comes. And she asked him whatever questions. And he's like, well, I'm not ready to say, I know we're going to have another baby. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't exactly how I wanted it to go. Ooh. At $250 an hour. But you know, it's like, and so he has said to me,
wow.
You know, I said, do you, and he said to me the other night, he said, we have such a dynamic daughter. I do know that she's so amazing and we're so lucky. I'm okay with if it doesn't happen, but he still can't quite pull the trigger. And I need him to because I'm not strong enough. Like, do I think about it every second of every day? I don't. I have gotten better about that, but I have days where I see something and I just struggle because I just knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I just, you
there
know.
There are options, and we can talk about this off air.
Yeah.
There are many alternative options here.
Yeah.
Beyond just adopting. There's, you know, there's embryo adoption, there's egg donor, there's.
Yeah, but it's also
cost. I know, very costly.
You know, it is very costly.
But international can save you.
Yeah, and then I'm also, you know, I'm not 25.
I know.
And so, you know, yeah. do David and I want to walk to her graduation with a walker and tennis balls on the bottom? I don't know. You know, I make jokes of it and stuff, I think that you, and I just, if you have a doctor who cares as much as Marlene does with her patients and myself, like, treasure that, because this, this time has sucked in terms of not being, and you know, I can get over things. I cannot get past this.
You will,
and I'm jealous of other people that have babies. I'm jealous of, you know, somebody who's like, my husband was supposed to get a vasectomy, but I guess we're going to have four kids now. And I'm just like,
so tough.
You know, in my head, I'm like, fuck off. But internally, I'm like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
And I am. But you really helped me a lot. And aww. I know that.
Thank you for your kind words.
No, I mean, I mean that from my heart. I know. Because that was just a brutal. Just a shitty thing. I have gotten better. But I've always wanted to just say it to you. But I'm also, I know there's people out there that are going through the same shit.
Oh yes.
And it's hard. And I'm sure when you were in that world too, you had a lot of heartache and disappointment and watching your patients, you know.
Absolutely, right there with you.
Yeah.
And seeing it
and not taking it. I'm sure you took that personal, you know, like you see it and you feel bad, and your heart is just so good. And I just wanted you to know that. And so for anybody who just treasure, you know, sometimes you just get someone that's by the book and you get someone that's just black and white. And Marlene isn't that person. She's so amazing. So I'm not going to toot your horn anymore.
Toot
because
it.
I'm going to toot toot.
Thank you.
But yeah, she's amazing. And obviously we'll have all of her information on there. If you guys are looking for an amazing gynecologist and you're looking for an amazing human. If anyone needs their front butt dealt with, which by the way, Darla is amazing. I just want to say she's so awesome.
And the founding father.
And when Marlene, she was at the school, you know, Marlene's schedule was bananas, especially during she was, and Brian wasn't here in the beginning.
Right.
Brian was still on the East Coast going to
training.
And
so
Marlene,
Darla lived in Monarch.
Lived in Monarch. You know, when they're like, you have to pick her up by 6. It was like 5:59:59.
Sometimes 6:05.
And she's like, Darla's the founding father. grandmother of this place, and it's hilarious.
To the point where they put her picture on the fence, remember?
They did. They put her picture, and I remember Charlotte would always be like, Darla, Darla, and it's probably like, why aren't I
she
on there?
She was on the big poster in the front fence.
On the front fence, and laughing with her teeth. And her
that
little,
didn't come in until she was five. She,
yeah, I know, her teeth. Charlotte had like two teeth. We're like, this kid's only going to have two teeth. Oh, my God.
Charlotte, too?
No, you,
oh, yeah. Darla.
Charlotte had like her teeth,
like,
and we're like, they're only 6 months apart. She has one tooth. What's happening? My God, this poor kid.
For so
she's
long.
Never eating corn on the cob. Remember her corn casserole you'd make her? When I'd watch her, you'd bring this bucket of corn casserole.
She loved it.
And it was funny because Charlotte was at your house, a few weeks ago or whatever, okay. or something, and you had it.
Okay.
Or she had something, and she's like, oh, and Darla was eating corn casserole. And I'm like, Charlotte's like, didn't Darla used to love that as a baby? Or, remember, you know, as a toddler?
I was the
like,
day we went to Disneyland. I packed it in Tupperware and you were all shocked.
Oh, you did. I'm like, oh my God, you brought fucking corn casserole. This kid was eating it like she was the last meal on earth.
Listen, you lean into the things your kids love.
Oh my God. Well, I can only lean into ranch and chicken nuggets so much. Fuck. But you know what she said yesterday? She said, Mommy, I wanted a chicken taco. We were at my friend's pumpkin carving thing. It was, we do
already?
It every, yeah, I do it every year. And everyone's
Gunner,
schedule.
Who
yeah.
does pumpkin carving this early?
Well, not only that, that pumpkin's going to be dead in about two days. But anyways, but she has a taco guy there. And so I said, Charlotte, do you want a quesadilla? Because she'll do cheese.
And she has a taco guy? Your mom has it together.
Yeah, that's my best friend, Kim.
Oh, Kim.
Kim.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she always does because it's easy. She doesn't have to worry about it. She's like, taco guy comes, I don't worry about it. Like, okay. Anyway, Charlotte goes, Mommy, I want a chicken taco. And I literally, like, almost, like, the DJ scratched the record. I was like,
yeah.
And then she goes, I go, you do? Wow. And I look at them, at the taco people, and I'm like, can you get my daughter a chicken taco with don't melt the cheese and nothing else? And they're like, okay. And then I'm like, she's never eats this really. And it's,
I know, you wanted to
chicken nuggets
it.
And ranch. Well, here's
no,
the best.
No, she's been having Caesar salad.
She does eat salad.
Strawberries, yeah. Carrots.
Yeah, she does love those. But so I put it by her pumpkin she was carving. Last night when I went to help clean off the table, that fucking chicken taco was sitting there. She goes, I forgot about it, Mommy.
So I'm like, happens.
I'm like, that's okay.
It.
But at least she asked for it. At least she asked for it. But I was dying. I was like, I was totally dying. The guys are like, oh, chicken taco. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We live in ranch. And she does eat like salad and stuff. So that's good. But like food
cool.
stuff, like we're real limited. On the actual like lunch, you know how boring her lunches are every fucking day.
I love that though. At least she's predictable.
It is. Now my mom discovered she likes these frozen grilled cheeses better than my grilled cheeses. So I have to buy these frozen grilled cheeses. Fuck my life.
Really?
And then so it's all I alternate between chicken nuggets
she
and
likes
frozen.
The frozen grilled.
Yeah,
I've never tried
from
them.
Lily. Lily's brand. She said they're great.
Where do you get them from?
Target.
Okay.
Out. Good old Target.
I love grilled cheese so much.
I know. You want to marry it? Remember when you were a kid? You love it so much. You want to marry
it?
We are going to pause because I lost my train of thought.
Okay.
We're going to say all of your information is going to be on the website about your new little curve in your career.
Add-on.
It's a little add-on. It's like a little a la carte, if you will.
Yes. Nuggets that I already say in the office,
you already
but
do.
I'm going to record and have it to the world to appreciate.
She's
going to
have it.
For this.
And you're going to hear it and you're going to know. And if you ever need or know somebody that needs an amazing, amazing, woman's doctor, this lady right here is pretty fucking amazing.
Oh. Thank you so much.
I know. I can't. I'm so excited. I kept asking you, can you do the podcast? Can you do the podcast? Because guess what? I really wanted you to do the podcast.
Right.
And I'm
going to
have you guys back and Brian.
Flattered.
And,
so
flattered. And celebrate your guys'. I mean, you guys are awesome. It's so great to be like, I want to be a doctor. Do it. Be successful. Have all.
It took some time.
Of course it did. Of course it did. Of course it
but
did.
Yes,
but
yes.
I mean,
it's
you did
a dream
it. You know.
True. Like, dream come true. Small, I mean,
yeah.
I came from a family of non-physicians, non-high school graduates.
Yeah, mine too.
Dream come true.
I don't have any family. Yeah, I mean, my mom and my dad didn't.
Yeah.
I remember before, as we sign off right here, because I know we have to kind of wind it down, but about a year ago, I would say, Charlotte and I are laying in bed, and she's like, Mommy, Charlotte is obsessed with washing everything. So if she finds a rock, she'll wash it in the bathroom, her Barbie's hairs. I mean, she doesn't do it as often, but she still doesn't really play a lot, but she'll scrub rocks for like an hour.
Really?
And she'll line them up if she has a few, or she'll give them a whole thing, a bath. She goes, Mommy, I think I know what I want to do when I grow up. And
what?
I'm laying there. I'm like, what? Tell me, a veterinarian?
Yes.
Or a scientist or a doctor? Okay. And she goes, I think I want to be a cleaner.
I love her so
and
much.
And I'm like, a cleaner, like a housekeeper? Because you don't even pick up your trash or your shoes.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, I want to clean the rocks and the dolls and all this
stuff.
And just leave them on the counter. That is not a profession.
But let's make that happen.
But you know what? We're going to do it. And then we're going to feel it out in a couple years and see if you still want to do it. She's like, that sounds like a really good idea. I also want to tell you, last thing I want to say, because I can talk to her forever. Is Darla getting a little sassy, like a little bit of talk back?
Of course.
I mean, a little bit. Like,
we're bringing the no back, like it's... Everything's a no. No.
Everything
is a no. And it has different intonations, like no, 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 no.
You're like, no. Yes. Charlotte said to me last week, we've been really struggling. There's a lot of homework in this class.
I've been hearing that from her.
And then there's a lot more.
But that's what I hear about fourth grade.
I do too. But I mean, for her, if it was at 40%, now it's about 80% more. Or 80%. Like it's doubled. It is a lot. And it's all, you know, whatever. But Charlotte said to me the other day, we finished basketball. We go and we're walking out to the car and she says, Mommy, can we go to get Chick-fil-A? I said, sure. You want to go eat inside or out or just take it home? And I said, actually, let's go eat inside. Because, you know, you usually take it home, right? Let's go. She goes, Mommy, I can bring my computer and we can do some math. Because she knows she has to do homework. Mm. We get there, we're sitting there and she's doing it. She's eating fine. I look up and I'm like thinking, is she doing math or division? I wasn't paying attention. She had switched and on the computer. And I look up and I'm reading this word problem. But I'm reading it to me. I'm not reading it to Charlotte. You know, whatever. I'm like, okay, we're back to division. But I'm reading it and she goes, with her glasses, you know her glasses that say love on the side?
Yeah.
Man, I wanted to take those glasses and throw them. Okay. She's looking at me down, looking up at me, kind of like a side eye through her glasses. And she's like, I know how to read.
Oh, yeah. Those tones I'm getting
into.
And
I was like,
it's not just Charlotte.
I wasn't even reading to you. We're leaving. Maybe I'll take your chicken nuggets with you.
Honestly, girl, I can't tell whether it's just their developmental stage, which sounds like it is, because I'm getting the same lip and a little bit of us where we are.
A lot of bit of us, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
It's us.
I know. Sometimes I just,
patience run dry. I told you. That's why I'm on my own hormones. It made me calmer.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Calms you.
Huh. We might have to talk out later about that. But she said that and I look at her and I'm like, and the thing with the bruh, what the fuck?
That's a thing. You know, honestly, that's a thing.
It's a thing because everyone
the
fucking says it.
The fact that they're the dial, the words.
6'7", what the fuck is that? 6'7", I don't even know what that is.
Oh my God, what is that?
I don't even know. I'm not cool, but their hands are in the air. 6'7". 6'7". I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
Do you want 6 nuggets? Of slay.
Slay all day.
I admit though, Charlotte teaches me things. And for some reason, it's less annoying when it comes from her.
Of course. Darla could say something to me. I'd be like, that's amazing. Charlotte says it. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Why
they were in the car.
Like
slay queen.
Yeah.
Slay queen. Yeah. Like, one's a queen. Only the queen of England is a queen. But Darla says it. I'm like, you are a queen. I know. It's so funny. Which we could have a whole episode on that, which we will one day, about just life and all of that. But time goes fast. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Information will be on the episode. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This was so much fun.
So good.
I love you.
I could talk forever
love
with you.
Love you.
Love you.
Guts
love you more. I love your guts.
Yeah, I love your guts hard.
If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.